Gentlemen, I want to show you something fascinating which I found out today. We all know about Reb Chaim Kanievsky's unique wealth of Torah knowledge and his unbeatable bekiyus in Torah Shebiksav, in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not a myth. It is reality. Nobody can. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's unbelievable. He is obviously as a fairly old member of the Kehillah, he has been isolating for a number of weeks now, or months indeed. They're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Somebody went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I saw it's written from a very reliable source, and you'll see yourself, it must be true. Somebody asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, somebody went in, one of the grandchildren went in, not literally Reb Chaim, but close enough to actually see him. And they saw Reb Chaim wearing a mask. So they asked Reb Chaim, why is Zayde wearing a mask? And he says, well, because it's the law now, you've got to wear a mask if you are a vulnerable member of the community, you've got to wear a mask. So they said, oh wow, that's very impressive, Reb Chaim is wearing a mask, that's very interesting. And then he said, you should know that it is, Reb Chaim said, don't think that this is their invention and a recent idea. He said, Chofetz Chaim also would have told us to do that. And in fact, Chofetz Chaim told us we should do it. And then he said, really, the Chofetz Chaim? He said, yeah, the Chofetz Chaim. And with that, he carried on to his own thing. So the Talmid Chachamim started looking in Mishneh Berurah. They first started looking in Hilchas Choyle, Shin Chofres. Nothing there. Nothing about wearing masks in Simon Shin Chofres. They went from there, looking into the Mikhtovim of the Chofetz Chaim, the Igris of the Chofetz Chaim, which are fascinating sources, the letters of the Chofetz Chaim. They looked through the letters, anything could do with the Magefa, with anything. Nothing there. Then moved on to Hilchas Shabbos, other areas of Hilchas Shabbos. They couldn't find it until one gentleman found it. And upon checking with Reb Chaim, he said, yeah, that's what he meant. Gentlemen, I've got a Mishneh Berurah in front of me. Simon Tov Kuf Nun Dalet, which is Hilchas Tisha B'Av. And in the Mishneh Berurah, which speaks about Mishneh Berurah speaks about Hilchas Tisha B'Av, and he speaks, he goes off the topic a little bit in Bialocha. In our editions, it's page 62, and there the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. I'm reading the words, gentlemen. I'm reading words. B'Makom Choyli, in a place of illness. Ein be sefer pischa oilam. The b'morkoim in a place. Ein amachlo shel cholera chazoka. Cholera, which is the black plague, the black death. He said that in places where there the cholera, the what's the English word for it? The cholera, there's a. What is the word? Plague, yeah, but there's a specific. Cholera, is there an English word for it? Cholera, is that what it's called? Well, that's the word the Mishneh Berurah uses. In a place where there's the cholera, chazoka, where it's very strong, chas v'sholem, then what should you do? On Tisha B'Av, yoichel pochs mekukoy seves, you should eat less than a kukoy seves, b'chdei achilas pras, within the amount, this time frame of achilas pras. V'chem b'shtiyah, similar also with regards to drinking. Just as it is written and discussed in Simon Tov Resh Yudches in earlier. That's what we've got to tell anybody who asks on Tisha B'Av. We've got to tell them to eat less than a kikuzeves in kedah chilas pras. With this, the tannis has not been discontinued and stopped altogether. The main thing is that the heart, it goes according to the heart. Now, and here comes the crunch, and I encourage you to look at chilek vav. And somebody wishes to fast on Tisha B'Av. In places where the plague is not as strong and is not acute and is not in actual danger. Somebody wishes to fast. Then Yeshli Chas v'Shalom. So obviously he doesn't. He's not so in favor of that. He says Chas v'Shalom. Yeshli Yatzoi. Or you've got to recommend a person who wishes to fast, where there's a slight danger. Yeshli Yatzoi. You've got to advise him. V'la'aziro, and to recommend him. Shelo Yelech mePesach Beisoi Kol Hayom. He should not leave his house the entire day. Rather, he should stay in isolation. Ideally, he should stay in isolation. Furthermore, v'la'achichoi, and one must force him, k'sheyitzei, when he does leave his house for essential purposes, yisa, he should carry sovav lechotmoi around his nose, v'fiv, and covering his mouth, chaticha, a material, kamper. Now, I don't know what kamper is, it's not German. It must be probably the Polish word for something. I don't. It's not. It's Yiddish, which I don't know. It's not. I don't know what exactly it's referred. Kamper me'at A7, a little bit of grass as well. That the herb aspect me'at at kaleshonoti. That's what he says. So I'm not quite sure what the word he uses, but clearly, undoubtedly, the description and the explanation of what he's doing is identical to our contemporary masks. If he does go out, first of all, he recommends isolation, but if you must go out for essential reasons, you should covering your mouth and your nose with the chaticho, with the material. Gentlemen, it's Mishtabura no less. And it's quite impressive that Mishtabura says that, but I think even more impressive is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, once again, 1-0 for him. Kind of absolutely spot on. Yes, so what Reb Chaim Kanievsky is kind of saying is that we see from there that this is something which helps for plagues, and covering the mouth and the nose is something which obviously what the mask's purpose is. That's something which the Chofetz Chaim feels as an established matter which helps. Therefore, he said that if Chofetz Chaim recommends it for his. It should, surely that can be compared also to our contemporary situation. And there you go, Mishtabura, therefore, according to Reb Chaim, recommends wearing masks. Very interesting. I think it's fascinating. It's amazing that Reb Chaim Kanievsky can come up with that. We must have seen his Mishtabura before, but nobody knew who to remember it and take it in that context. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about the mask, on carrying the mask on Shabbos, wearing it, I should say, on Shabbos. He doesn't actually go into that, but there's been a lot of discussion about that. Yeah, okay. What do you think about this Mishtabura, gentlemen? I think it's amazing. What do you think about it? It's good, eh? I think it's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Alright, okay. We are continuing Simon Tov Samach Beis. And we discussed yesterday the ever so important topic of matzahs which have been made with May Peiros and water. We spoke about matzah Ashira, we spoke about the matzahs with the egg matzahs which we discussed yesterday, which according to Lomar is only permitted Peshas Chak Mokum Choyli. Alright, Tziv Hei tells us the following: Alosh Isabe May Peiros, somebody who needs the with May Peiros. The recommendation, the advice given is Tovla says the Pochs me Shir Soren, it should be less than a Shir Soren. Kadesh to is Chayev Chale, no, they shouldn't be Chayev Chale. The Mishnebu says that if you do May Peiros, you should avoid it becoming Chayev Chale, and therefore you've got to do it in a Shir, less than a Shir Soren, so that it's not obligation to take Chale. This is contrary to the way we do matzahs, normal matzahs with water, which obviously we do take challah from that. Okay, we continue. See, Vav. Chito shem tzeis bedvash. Chito, now we're going to be talking about it's slightly moving on to topic. If you find the kernel of grain in dvash, say you've got honey and you want to enjoy and the honey on Pesach, but you do find in it a chito, you find grain in it, grain. So now, the way we're looking at it is that you've got grain, you've got chito, and it's really chito, wheat, and you want, and it's found in dvash, in honey. So the question is this become chametz now or not? It's in honey, which is a liquid. Is it become chametz now or not? Similarly, oy b'yayin, or you find a bit of chita in wine, and you want to have the wine now. Can you drink that wine or not? Or has the old wine now become chametz because of this chita? V'choymetz, or you want to use the vinegar, and there is a bit of, there's chita inside it. So can you consume it or not? The answer is mutar, it's permitted. And here again, provided, as long as you know for a fact that no water has been mixed with it. Again, this is for the same reason we've been discussing for the last two evenings. If you've got pure made peiros, doesn't become chametz. If it's made peiros with water, it becomes chametz immediately. We suspect. Mishnah Berurah says cotton vav. Chitos shenimtzeis umayir shebishlu advash. We're talking about cooked honey v'ayin or shekavush mesles. It's either been cooked, the honey's been cooked, or the wine has been kavush, has been for 24 hours soaked to b'shir ba'alma b'tzoynein in cold water for 24 hours. La'aber poiskim of the nimtzah b'maim greid nam yein oisa. Is that if it would just have been a chita for a second, then it's not a problem. We're talking about that it's been cooked. The honey's been cooked. And we learned the Lemaisa that despite all that and with all that, nevertheless the dvash and the yain remain mutter. So if gotten chobeis mutter hadvash v'ayin, the honey is mutter. It's been processed, yes, but it's still fine. The chito will not asa the entire honey. Similarly, the wine also is fine, is permitted to be consumed. V'loy amrino, we do not say shenis chamtzu al edei achito. He will not have become chametz through that wheat. V'afrino nisrachov nisbakosham. Although he may appear that it's been starting to ferment, if the chito, the grain is starting to open up, or there is various signs of apparent chimutz, nevertheless, we do not take this as chametz. She'en mei peiros machmitzin, because mei peiros juices do not become chametz. Again, this is ubelvat shlonis arebo emayim. This is provided we know that no water has entered this liquid, because as we've spoken now countless times, mei peiros with water becomes chametz immediately. Mei peiros alone does not become chametz. So therefore, as long as you know this wine has no added water, this honey has no added water, so just because you find a bit of chita in there, it will not make it chametz. The aim is Arev, says the Mishnah Berurah, top line, when page 128, Sivkon Chav Gimel, Hubulach and Isar Behemayim, which the aim is Arev, if it did mix with water, Adarab Machmitz Mitfei, as we've discussed, it will become Chametz very quickly. Yeah. So that's that. So here we go again with that Yisoid. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Zayin with an added scenario. Yesh Levar HaMelach. This is talking about sea salt. Now, the thing with sea salt is that sea salt is really considered not a proper solid, because if it gets in touch with anything, it becomes liquid very quickly. So it's not really a genuine solid. It's rather kind of a liquid. Now, what happens if you have got salt and there is in that sea salt that you've got some chito, you've got some flour, some wheat flour there. Now, really, you could look at it as being a problem, and we'll see it is a problem, because you've got salt together with the wheat, so salt is looked at not as a proper solid, it's looked at as kind of a mei peiros, that's really what it is. So you've got here a potential issue. So therefore, because it's considered a liquid, to some extent a liquid, the Shulchan Aruch advises and says, top of page 128, the following, Yesh Levarir HaMelach, you've got a sieve, you've got to take out, you've got a sieve through the salt, Kodem Pesach Mechitim, you've got to get rid of all the chitim, all the wheat in the salt, you've got the bags of salt, the boxes, the containers of salt, which frequently will have a bit of wheat inside it, often you get mixed up. You must sieve it through and ensure there is no wheat in there. There shouldn't be any wheat inside those salt containers. Because when the water, when the salt is going to get a little bit more moist, when the salt is going to get a bit more liquidy, when the salt is going to get a bit more, it's going to get liquidized to some extent, then mislachleach, v'hu nichnas me'at me'at pechitim, then the salt will, by definition, enter the chitim, the wheat, or mischametz, it will become chametz. So this is to be looked at as with a bit of with experience. There's an experience that's shown that the metzias is the reality of the salt is that it's not going to remain a pure solid. If you would remain rock solid and it would remain as a solid item, of course, there would be no concern. This is wheat and this is salt. The Shalom Al Yisrael. But the reality is that if you keep them together, it will get a bit wet, it'll get a bit moist, and therefore you've got over here water which is coming together with wheat, and therefore it's going to become chametz. The Mishnah in Zefkon Chav Dalet in the bottom line says, "Hamelach Hainu b'Melach Shel Yom." This is talking about sea salt, the Kemaim Dom, which is considered like a liquid, like water. Avol, but b'Melach Shechoyfer Min HaKarka, but salt which comes from the ground, which you're digging from the earth. Metzadim Kama Achonim, the Achonim agree. The Einong B'Chlal Maim, it's certainly not considered water. Eloi Mei Peirois, they are considered. Check them beforehand as well. But with regards to sea salt, you've got to look at it as proper water. How exactly does it become chametz? Mishnah Berurah Zifkon Chav explains, hachita, the wheat becomes chametz. For sure, poilet is hachita. And what's going to happen as well is that the wheat is going to extract tam chametz b'melach. The liquid is going to come from the salt. It's going to make the wheat chametz. And now the wheat itself is going to be real chametz, which that itself is going to make the salt chametz yet again. So the whole thing becomes one big unit of chametz. Therefore, you've got to get rid of the salt beforehand. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah points out in the bottom, spices, they must be pre-checked. Before you use spices, you must check them too, that the spices should be wheat free. They must be checked, because here again we'd suspect perhaps for kodim shudukhoisam shalois avu tech tavlin havala tavlin poshut shein derech shu ein boem chashash afdanim tzu amarbe terem yovesh biyovesh. But spice itself is of course fine, but it just recommends that those the salt as well as other items which tend to sometimes have wheat in it, you've got to sift them through and check that they are fine and chometz free and wheat free. Okay, that's with regards to that, and this is all based on the concept that this I must just point out. Now, the question of it is, why is this not considered Mei Peiros? We said Mei Peiros don't become chametz, but why is the salt now, if it does get liquidy, we are saying now that it's going to be chametz. Why is it going to become chametz? Because it's... Why is it not looked at as Mei Peiros?
I thought that Mei Peiros is something which is sweet, but maybe that's my own...
It doesn't have to be sweet. It doesn't have to be sweet. But I don't think by definition it must be sweet. I don't think.
Salt is a soluble. Anything that can dissolve when come in contact with a liquid is soluble. So coffee is soluble, and salt is a soluble. And the analogy seems to be that a soluble combining with water, once it's mixed with wheat, is going to cause a problem. But what
Brother, the wording you used is much better than mine. That is precisely the point. You've explained it far better than me. The word is that it's insoluble. That's it. That's precisely the point. Thank you.
What I don't understand is why do you even need the salt as a medium? Because once you have wheat by itself coming into contact with water, then you don't even need the salt to become liquidized and to touch the liquid.
You're for sure right that if the wheat itself would get in touch, it would become chometz. But I believe that we're concerned about the salt becoming insoluble. I think that's the reason why I think we're concerned that the salt itself is going to become liquid is through the temperature or through its environment, it's going to become. And I think we're concerned it's going to become. I think that's what it is. Gideon, you want to say something? Gideon, you want to say something?
Once it touches water, then it's not salt anymore. It's water. So obviously, when it touches wheat, it's going to be chometz. I really don't understand it.
You want to know what the chiddush is? You want to know what the chiddush is?
Yeah.
Because I would have thought it's meperos.
It's
and no, meperos doesn't have to be literally a juice. I would have thought that anything which is not pure water, which is not pure water, I would have thought does not become chametz. And certainly something I would have, however many would have been, that something which really comes from a solid. It's salt. This is salt. This is a liquid version of salt. Perhaps I would have thought this is mei peiros, and it doesn't become chametz. Kamash malon, no. Of course it is. It does become proper chametz. I think there's definitely at least two elements of chiddush here. And therefore we've got to sieve it through beforehand. Okay. Simon Tov Samach Gimel, let us give a bit of a start. This is talking about wheat kernels now. Wheat kernels, and this is moving on a little bit, but touching on the same subject. Now, when you have got two, this is a way of toasting, light toasting. I take two shibolim, two grain kernels, and I toast them. I don't know why I would do that. I'm not sure. Part of which process this is exactly, but you take those and you kind of toast it to some extent. You are now to actually do that together. You take one and you take another one. V'loy chashinon, and we are not concerned. Shema, perhaps lest mayim yetsu mayim achas lechabelto. If you've got two of them next to it, they all have an internal, intrinsic liquid within them. Everything has got some liquid. Not so good at what is that? Physics? Is it physics? No, it's not physics. Chaim is trying to hold his laugh back. What is it? But everything has got some liquid within it, right? I remember that I'm still shocked when I heard that my brain is made out of 95% liquid, so I'm still shocked from that. But I think everything has got a strong component of, everything has got some element of liquid. Now, also, Shibolim also have an element of water within it, an intrinsic water. Now, therefore, if I would put two things together, two Shibolim, and I toast them, likely to happen is that there's going to be some liquid emerging from that, and therefore I would have perhaps thought that it's going now to become chametz. One, the liquid from this one is going to go out and make this one chametz, and vice versa. So now the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, no, you don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about one coming out from the next and making it chametz. Why? Because that also is considered mei peiros, and it's not machmitz. This is mei peiros. It's not a juice. It's not literally mei peiros. I understand what you're bothered about is it's not literally mei peiros, but it is mayim. It is a. It's not pure water. It's a liquid which emerges from from a food, and therefore it is considered meperos, and therefore it's not machmitz. Now the Mishnah explains this a little bit better, and we'll finish off with that for today. Shem meperos vuadin the mutal amit kachal dogin dogon lachim. If I want to kind of put wet, moist into the oven, also a kind of toast. I'm kind of taking this wheat, and I'm toasting it dry, as it were, but I'm toasting in the oven. Although despite the heat of the oven, it is likely it's likely that it's going to go out and it's going to go into the bowl, into the container, and it's going to be absorbed by its neighboring dogon. It's going to absorb it. Nevertheless, permitted mitam to make peros and machmitz, and anything which is wheat, anything which is its intrinsic food, is going to be any liquid which comes out from that is considered made peros, and consequently it's not going to become chametz. So, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. So the point is not that we're not concerned. It's not the loy chashinon aspect. We're not concerned, but rather even if it does happen, it doesn't actually become chametz. So gentlemen, what we learned this evening is we learned about the wheat which is found in the honey and the wine, which is fine. It doesn't. It's not a problem because this is considered meperos, and as long as you know that no water has been added, it's not becoming chametz. We spoke about the salt, which the salt is a bit different. You'd have thought perhaps it's meperos, but like I said, we're looking at it as water, and therefore you've got to take away all the wheat from the salt because that would be considered chametz. We're talking about sea salt. Then we start the Siman Tov Samach Gimel, which taught us that toasting any grain is fine, because although liquid may emerge, it's not considered an issue because it's made peros, and even if it does get absorbed by its neighbor, it's still not considered chametz because it's made peros. And here again, as long as no other water has been added, we are fine. Okay. I wish you a very good evening, gentlemen.